That there is a message out there, without giving it to any particular group or pastor or anybody, but there is a message out there that going into areas of healing, that dealing with issues like that, is some kind of detour from the mainstream spiritual walk. Because that walk looks like, you know, you do your, you had your quiet time in the morning, you worked at your job, you witnessed to a couple people, you, at night, you know, you met with your group, you rehearsed with choir, whatever your thing is, right? Whatever your thing is that you're doing. You did all that stuff, and you know, I'm going to get personal, you went to Mexico, whatever your thing is, right? Whatever your thing is, if you did all that stuff, you know, and you maintain that's it. That's your walk. That's your spiritual life. That's your Christianity. That's what people see, and that's what you expect, and you just want to be able to keep doing it. And dealing with anything that goes deep into areas of healing or areas of getting to a more intimate place with the Lord, it's like we want the intimacy, but it's like we kind of expect that as we do all these other things, that's just going to happen. And I know that because I did all that other stuff expecting the intimacy to happen. And it wasn't, and believe me, all I did was bounce off of it. Because I wanted the intimacy to come with all my works. You know? I mean, Bible college and worship ministries and evangelism and missions work and all the stuff that I was doing, that to me was, I'm reading the Word, I have my quiet time, and I had wonderful times with God. Okay, I experienced God's presence, but what we're talking about here is not just experiencing the presence of God in that moment of high worship, but a daily ongoing intimacy with the Lord where He's actually interacting with you and working through stuff that's there, because it's clearly there's stuff there. Scripture is clear on it. And if we were to look inside, it wouldn't take much to find some things. And you know, a lot of us in the church, especially if it's been a while, you know, if you've been in the church a long time, you know the routine. And we get very, very good at doing all of the things that look right. And it's not, you're not doing, to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, you're not doing them just to show off. You're doing them because you really believe, this is what I need to do. This is the stuff I'm doing. And yet, what the Lord keeps saying in His Word, and what we keep hearing from the Spirit is, and all the worship songs that are being written in the last 10 years at least, it's about sharing your heart with Him. And where are you with Him? And having a love relationship, an intimacy. If a marriage is just two people working, paying the bills in a house, and cars and all that stuff, and let's say raising a couple of kids by, you know, making sure everything's paid for and the kids go to school and all that stuff, if that's what a marriage is it something, is that what it's supposed to be? Or is it not a love relationship that's built on intimacy between two people, out of which flows all the stuff? You got to do things. You've got to take care of things. You're running your household. You're doing all the stuff that, but the intimacy, that's where it started. That was what built up from there. And so this is not a detour. This is the main drag. I think I said that a few weeks ago. This is the mainstream. This is Christianity. And ministry actually flows out from the intimacy. The fruit comes from that. And the closer we get to Him and the more He pours into us, through us, out comes the fruit. So it's a lie to believe that that this isn't it. And everything else is filled with light because of this. Now I wanted to say one more thing that relates to Susan's point at the very beginning about safe being safe in situations. Coming into a situation and being safe because you can't trust what's going to happen in that situation. And I always go back to my parents because they're just really easy to pick on. I love them, but there's a lot of stuff there, okay? A lot of fodder, you know, for me. And I wanted to share just a vignette. A few years ago, the Lord told me to quit my job. I had been selling for about 10 years. Had a nice income and a built-up business, and the Lord said, quit your job. And for 2 years, I substitute taught in a middle school. And it was the most glorious time of my life, spiritually speaking. Because I had to deal with all the issues of value. Because in this culture, folks, Western culture especially, we are what we make, we are what we do, we are what we drive, we are where we live, we are all those things out there. And that also goes through church stuff too, okay? There are many, a lot of churches, there's a very transparent, you know, it flows right in and out of church culture, church and culture. So it happens there as well. And I had to deal with all that stuff. And the Lord took care of our income and finances, and we were just blown away every month. We're like, we make this much, our bills are this much. At the end of every month, our bills were paid for. We just scratch our heads, but how in the world did that happen? And it was glorious because while middle schoolers were beating me up at the beginning, until I learned how to love them, which I did, it was just an amazing experience of revaluing, of God saying, this is who you are. And you're not attached to a job, you're not attached to a profession, you're not attached to your education. Because, folks, you guys know, a lot of you know, I have a master's in theology, but without a teaching credential, being a substitute in a middle school, it's like they could care less. That meant nothing to them. So I had my former status, my former education, none of that made any waves. It was what I was able to do with the kids only that mattered, which the Lord blessed, okay? And I experienced a tremendous growth in my life with that. Okay, my point. My folks, who my father was the president of a pharmaceutical company, my mom was always a housewife and pretty affluent people, saw my decision to work in a middle school substitute teaching as not just bad decision, but they just thought I was crazy and they just let me know it in a lot of different ways. And it was not safe there because my acceptance with them was, a lot of it was based upon what I was able to accomplish. You know, they took credit for me accomplishing schooling and for what my job was. That was a big deal to them. And they could, it was bragging rights to their friends, you know, and all this other stuff. And they had nothing to say when I was in that place. And then the Lord, after that 2 years was done, whether I was ready or not, we're still debating that, the Lord gave me a job where now I am a salesman for a company and I actually run the Western region of the United States for them. And I oversee millions of dollars worth of business. And so my parents are like, woohoo, you know, bigger bragging rights. And I have more, conflict in dealing with the Lord in terms of staying close to Him because of all the stuff that I deal with now with my work and being out traveling all the time like I do. But my point is that it's not status. It's the Western culture thing. Guys, it's a lie. And it's like, that was on my heart to say, and I know that there's some people here that needed to hear it, and I needed to share it, but we just have to let Him show us our value in His eyes, apart from a marriage, if we're married to someone really powerful and important, or if we have a very powerful, important job, or if we have numerous degrees that give us all kinds of status in our community, or if we're, whatever our thing is, or if we're the opposite, we feel like we have nothing. We feel like we we didn't get out of high school, and we're doing this job, and I just society doesn't recognize me at all. But we have to let the Lord show us how He sees us, because He doesn't differentiate between. What does it say? If a man comes into your congregation with gold rings on, and you place him at the front of the congregation, and the man who comes into your congregation wearing rags, and you put him at the back, how dishonoring that is to the Lord, because He does not honor one or prefer one over the other. That's what He says in His Word. And so it's about us coming to a place where we experience His value. Now, how do I deal with my parents now? Well, you know what? It's a struggle still. Because me that ministers, that is free with the Lord, that has got liberty, that is vulnerable and sensitive, that person isn't always safe there. And so the trick, what's the trick? What's the thing I'm working through with the Lord is, Lord, how can I be free, but in You so deeply that no matter what they say or do, that doesn't influence or attack me or in any way devalue me or take away from who I am in You. If I lost my job tomorrow, that it would not affect how I feel about myself in any way, shape, or form, regardless of what anyone says to me, family or non-family. That's the kind of freedom. You ask, say, what does it look like, Steve, when you said, what does it look like? To me, that is a face of what it looks like. That's a face of it. But that's also so connected with the Lord and so tucked in with Him and so covered by Him and with Him that you are free from all the material things, all free from the world things, from all the words of men that could take away or rob you of the value that God has placed on your life or on my life. Or anybody's life. And this process of dealing with the obstacles and the pain and all the issues and how difficult that is really the road to that. It's about being free. It's about being free.
You know, there's a scripture that says, Paul said there's a surpassing value of knowing Christ.